Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are ready for our Bible study lesson. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be covering verses 12 through 19 in just a moment. I want to reintroduce you to our Bible study teacher, Connie Stanfill. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you.
What will we be, what is the theme for today?
Well, all here, we've been studying in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and we've been finding about the Christ-like attitude, Christ-like service. Today, we're going to find about what that faith looks like that Jesus had. So it's really Christ-like faith.
All right. Well, I'll read this and then Connie will teach. So ladies, it starts in verse 12 here, and it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you might also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good."
All right. Well, that ends with such a beautiful promise of, or just an exhortation to trust themselves and trust the, for us, it ends with such a beautiful promise for us to entrust ourselves to God who created us. But we're going to work through this passage of Scripture, and we can see right away that Peter is telling us to expect suffering.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is that in it, we're supposed to have joy.
Yeah.
And so we'll work through this, and hopefully all of us will come to have a perspective on suffering that is the way God sees it. Verse 12 says, "Beloved," so again, Peter is talking to them as dearly loved people, his flock, "do not be surprised at the fiery trial." And literally it means don't be amazed, don't be shook up, don't be upset. He's really telling them to expect it. "When it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." And we know elsewhere in Scripture it talks about how trials are actually for our good, because they show us, they refine us, they grow our faith, they grow that steadfast endurance in us, and that they're actually for our good. And so he's instructing the people in this idea. And then in verse 13 he says, "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." We know that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. That's in Hebrews. But also, followers of Jesus rejoice when they have suffering also. And there's a couple scriptures here we're going to read, and it's going to just highlight again, when we're truly in God's will, and if we are suffering for God's glory, we also have Christ's joy in that time.
All right. The first one Connie has selected is in Acts chapter 5, verses just 40 through 42, and it says, "And when they had called in the disciples, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease preaching that the Christ is Jesus." And then in 2 Timothy, Connie's picked out chapter 3, verse 12, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted."
Well, actually, those are helpful words to us, because then when we do encounter persecution, we realize it's not an aberration. It's not something strange. It's actually something God the Father is allowing. And we can have Christ's joy. Verse 14 in 1 Peter tells us on more, it says, "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of Christ rests upon you." And so actually persecution is a sign, is a validation of belonging to Jesus Christ, because as the world rejected Jesus and persecuted him, that's what the world does with his followers also.
Yeah.
Verse 15, though, Peter goes back to something he's told us several times in this letter. He says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler." And so if we suffer for sin, that's our own fault and we deserve it. But again, we're talking about the suffering that happens because we are living holy lives and we're representing Jesus Christ well. Verse 16, he says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And one thing we don't realize is that actually the term Christian was a name of derision in the early church. In Acts, the believers in Antioch in Syria were the first ones to actually be called by that name, but it was not a complimentary name. It was actually meant to speak badly of them. And then we find in Acts 26, when Paul is giving a defense of the faith before some of the Roman authorities, I'll just read Acts 26:28, and it says, "And Agrippa said to Paul, 'In such a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?'" And so he's like, "You're interesting me, Paul, but nope, I don't want to be one of you. Yeah. And so we need to understand that, yes, we may be called names because of belonging to Christ, but that's all right, because we're identifying with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in that, we can glorify God. And then we have an interesting passage here, which we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about. Verse 17 says, For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Throughout Scripture, for the children of Israel in the Old Testament and also for believers in the New Testament, there's a sense of God is holy, and he refines and purifies his people to, again, make them holy, to separate them for himself, to have them be done with sin. And here this concept is God may be refining and purifying his people, the church, but for those who utterly reject Jesus Christ, for those who are wicked and say no to God, what will be their outcome? Yeah. Something even worse. We have one of the Proverbs, which Amy will read, and just speaks very clearly about what God does with the righteous and the wicked.
Yep, this is Proverbs 11:31. "If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner?"
All right. In our study guide, we've got some more references from the Old Testament prophets, again, about that concept of God judging his people first. But a strong word for us to remember, our God is holy, and we need to be serious about obeying him. Because for those who do not obey the gospel of God, we have a scripture which Peter is referring to from the Old Testament. It says, "If the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Or if the righteous is saved with difficulty in the midst of suffering, what will be happen to those who utterly reject God?" And we've talked about this before, but we do know that there is a day of judgment coming. We all live our lives, we die, and then there will be judgment. And for those of us who are not in Jesus Christ, we will receive God's full wrath against our sins. Sum it all up, though, Peter then gives us a note of encouragement, and he says in verse 19, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." And just like Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us, trusted God the Father through that process, went to the cross, walked through it, died, was buried, and then rose again, we also need to trust ourselves to God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. We know God has created all things as the Creator, but he's also recreated us. He's made us new creations in him. And we have that from 2 Corinthians 5:17, talking about us being a new creation, and that's a beautiful thing. But just like Jesus needed to trust God the Father, so we do also. And with that, we also know that God chooses to, at times, discipline us through those trials. And that's another concept to keep in mind. If we're truly God's children, he will discipline us. And we have got a scripture from Hebrews that really is one that many of us know, but we need to remind ourselves that sometimes in those trials and difficulties, God is doing it actually because he loves us.
Yes.
And so I'll let Amy read the Hebrews 12:7 passage, and it'll just help us remember what God is doing in that time.
Okay, it's 12:7, and it says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline?"
All right. And so summing up all of this, we understand God uses trials actually for our good. And it's not a terrible thing if God chooses to have us suffer. But in all of those things, we need to just follow Jesus. We'll have his joy. We'll keep trusting him and God the Father for what they're doing. And ultimately, the entire purpose of this is to grow us up in Christ and to help us just appreciate and glorify God.
Amen. Well, thank you, Connie, so much. Ladies, all of these lessons, again, are found on our Bible study tab, and you can find that at naomistable.com. Those are free for the taking. Please use those to share the Word of God with other ladies around your own table, or do the studies on your own if you like. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. Nancy's going to be back in just a second. Hope you can stick with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.